Amen. Good morning. Good to see you this morning. If you weren't here for Sunday school, my wife and I and family, we've returned from Ecuador due to some health reasons. And I shared a little bit about what took place in Ecuador and why we left. And thank you again for your support and prayers for the ministry there. When we came back and we landed in Atlanta, I got to hold it back, brother, because it's just, we have so much here.
Amen.
In America. Our country is so great.
Amen.
It's blessed beyond anything we can ever imagine. Anybody wants to start talking negatively about our country or the policies of our country, just spend some time in a foreign country.
Amen.
And you'll change real quick. I appreciate our soldiers who have to go overseas at times too. Missionaries and soldiers sometimes experience the same feelings of just the culture shock and coming back to America. I remember I was standing there in Atlanta waiting on a cup of coffee, and this lady was just bickering that she didn't get enough cream in her coffee, and this other coffee didn't have enough caramel in it. And I started crying standing there thinking, we complain about the simplest things here in the States. And we worked with some very poor people in Ecuador, people that would work all day and maybe make $5-6, if that, for a full day's worth of work. And some made even less than that. And the way that these people lived, when you're getting rid of your refrigerator because it costs you $6 a month in electricity, you know you're living among people that are very poor. He was willing to get rid of his refrigerator because it cost him $6 more a month in electricity than to have a refrigerator in his home. And some have 2-3 refrigerators and a freezer in the garage full of meat. We are truly blessed, amen. It's all because of the Bible. If you really stop and think about it, it's because of the freedoms we enjoy, because of the way our laws were written, because of this book right here that we all have access to. And so let's thank God, amen, for what we have here in America. Let's thank Him for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's given us salvation full and free, amen, forever kept by faith in Him. If you'll take your Bible, please turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. We're going to look at an Old Testament passage, but we're going to see the gospel in the Old Testament. The gospel is nothing just for the New Testament, though we understand that it was because of the Lord Jesus Christ, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, that gives us this good news. It's by faith that we are saved. It's by faith that the Old Testament saints were saved. But the terminology that we're going to look at here in Psalm 32, just the first few verses, we're going to see words such as forgiveness, righteousness, justification, repentance, confession, salvation. We're going to see all of this in the first 5 verses of this Old Testament passage. It's what I just simply entitled the gospel in the Old Testament. We see the work of Christ, the effect on an individual in the Old Testament. Clearly illustrated New Testament truths in the Old Testament. If you know not the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation this morning, I pray that you would take heed to the words that are spoken, that you would allow the Spirit of God to convict you of your sin and unbelief, and that you in simple repentance and faith would turn to Him, placing your faith and trust for the salvation of your soul. God will grant that to you this morning. If you choose to reject Him this morning, we'll also speak about that in this passage, that you've rejected the only life that's offered you after this grave that we will face one day. This psalm we see in Psalm 32 is penned from personal experience. David here is instructing sinners to repent and receive forgiveness. And that's what we as preachers do. Through personal experience. Yes. There was a time in my life when I lived the way of the world. I was involved in drugs and alcohol and lived an immoral life. But God saved me, amen. And God turned my life around. And I enjoyed sharing my testimony the other day with an individual. And the power of these words of a changed life. Yes. Never take for granted, Christian. It can influence somebody else. I was preaching in the jail and sharing my testimony with those men. And it's a powerful thing. Because they're still trapped in their sin and unbelief, and they can't find hope right now. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. That He can save them. He can break those addictions. He can break those bonds that are holding them, if they but put their faith and trust in Him. Here in Psalm 32, a psalm of David, says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah." Those five verses here, we're going to see the gospel in the Old Testament. And Lord willing, it will encourage you if you have believed in what you have believed. And if you have not yet come to that place, that you would consider these truths. That you would consider the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. Let us bow our heads and pray. Father, we're in need this morning to hear from heaven, not from man. We're in need, Lord, that Your Spirit would move amongst us and challenge us and convict us and cause us to turn unto Thee. Father, I pray that You would meet every need that's present this morning. May Your Word be our nourishment and our sustenance. May it give us the strength we need to start this new week. Thank You for all that You've done for us. Thank You for all that You will do for us. We pray that we would not be neglectful of what we need to do for Thee. I ask, Father, that You would help me and enable me to preach the gospel. You'd give open ears and open hearts to receive these words. If there's one here that needs to be saved, that they would be challenged, that they would be convicted to respond to these truths. And this I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The blessedness of forgiveness. In your Bible, you may see a title. In the psalm, sometimes there's titles. It says, "A Psalm of David." And if I can say this right, it's interesting, since I've come back from Ecuador after trying to learn Spanish, even just simple English words are confusing to me. And I'm trying to read things in Spanish and English at the same time, and I'm all messed up right now. I need help.
Brother, don't feel bad. I haven't been there and learned it. I still have trouble.
We'll just say that, okay? Mashil. But I looked that word up, and what it simply means is to make wise, or to impart wisdom. And that's what this psalm is trying to do for us. It's trying to make us wise. It's trying to impart wisdom to us. David was going to teach transgressors the way. He knew where he had been. And he now knows where he is. And he's going to share that experience. And as Christian individuals, this is what we need to do. We know where we have been. We know where God has brought us now. And we need to share that with others to give them wisdom.
Yes.
To give them light and show them the way that leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. David knew how sweet it was and how blessed it was to be reconciled to God.
Yes.
And if you've been reconciled, you know where you were. You know where you are. Do you share it? Do you know what it's like? If not, maybe you should know. You see, the first thing that we'll look at in this psalm is man. It always comes down to man and the evil that is mentioned with him. And we see four things. The first thing we see here is transgression. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." What is transgression? Transgression simply means going over a boundary. And God has set up boundaries for us, has he not? And when we go over those boundaries, we have transgressed the law of God. Man has given us his law also too. He has set up certain boundaries, and when we transgress those boundaries, we get in trouble, do we not?
Amen.
But man is in trouble because he has transgressed God's law. He has gone over that boundary that God has set that man was not to pass. But we are sinners, and we break those laws all the time. The Bible says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law." 1 John 3:4. For sin is the transgression of the law. So when we sin, we are transgressing the law of God that he has given us as a boundary and as a guideline, ultimately as a schoolmaster, it says in the book of Galatians, to lead us unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so man has transgressed. So David said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." What do we see next? Number two, in the same verse, verse 1, whose sin is covered. Now, we're all familiar with sin. We're all familiar with what sin is, and it means missing the mark. And we have missed the mark, have we not? We fall way short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that all have sinned and come short the glory of God. That the wages of sin is death. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. It's not looking good right now for man, is it? We have gone over the boundaries. We have transgressed the law of God. We have missed the mark that has been set for us because we have sinned. "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned," Romans 5:12 says. We understand the effects of sin in our life. We see the sin that is outside of us and all around us in certain actions that are done, whether it's drunkenness, immorality, drugs, sodomy, whatever it may be, murder. But within we see hatred and pride and bitterness, unforgiveness. Sin is everywhere. It's every part of us. It's every part of our society. It's something that cannot be avoided. But we see this is something that God saves us from, amen? It's something that is, as he says in verse 1, covered. What's next? Number 3, we see with man and what's mentioned, verse 2, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." Now, iniquity, again, is just another term that we would use for sin, but the definition is distorted or perverted. And is there iniquity in our society today or what? Everything is distorted. Everything is perverted. You can't even watch a simple commercial for brushing your teeth without it being distorted or perverted, sexually speaking. Iniquities have separated us from our God, it says in Isaiah 59. Man is shapen in iniquity, and the sinner drinks it, basically, is what it says in the book of Job. He drinketh iniquity like water. Why is it that man has to be so disgusting and distorted and perverted and dark? It's because he's a sinner. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll say, yes, that's me. There have been times where I have had distorted and perverted thoughts, or I have done distorted and perverted things, where I have gone over the boundary, where I have missed the mark. This is man. I don't teach my children to do wrong. I don't teach them to do distorted or perverted things or to break the rules, but they do. Why? Because it's inbred in them. We have to teach them how to do right. We have to teach them what is wrong and to stay away from that wrong. He said, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Iniquity, something, it's just distorted, it's perverted. And our society is rapidly decaying because it's so distorted and perverted. It says, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Guile is deceit or to disguise. It's crafty, it's trickery. And our heart is full of guile. It's full of deceit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the Bible says. And we try to trick man and we think we can trick God, but we can't. So it's not looking good for man. He has transgressed, he has sinned, he's full of iniquity, and his mouth is full of guile. And he lies, and he's deceitful. And if we're honest, we do the same thing. And if we're saved, sometimes we still do the same thing. But praise God, we can find forgiveness through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That if we just confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all iniquity. You see, David knew who he was. Do we know who we truly are? And if you're saved, I said that this message can encourage you because you can see all that God has done. What He has done to forgive you and to cover you of all the mess that you have made. Because of man's evil, because of his wickedness, our very nature, we're corrupt to the core of who we are. We cannot attain the righteousness of God, nor can we enter heaven. Our sin will condemn us to a devil's hell for all eternity. Where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and God will be just to send us there because we have gone over the boundary. We have missed the mark. We have been perverted and disgusting, and we have been trickery. We have been crafty, I should say. We tried to disguise our sin. Man is guilty, is he not? But there's blessedness in forgiveness. Man needs Jesus Christ. God in His wisdom and love for man provided a way for you and I to be saved from this horrible death. From a life of sin and a death all eternity in hellfire. He's made a way for the unrighteous to be made righteous, for the unforgiven to be forgiven. And it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary. Amen? Yeah. It's all about Jesus. And so we saw the first four things here about man, but now let's look at what God has done to remove these evils from man's life, because that's what we need. We need this stuff taken away from us, because how can a man in this state stand before a thrice holy God and enter into heaven? He can't. Forgiveness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. We need forgiveness. You say, I don't need forgiveness. I haven't done anything wrong. Yes, you have. In vain do men seek for happiness where their sins remain unforgiven. Man tries to circumvent the cross of Calvary and forgiveness. He tries to find happiness and enjoyment in this life, and it's emptiness because he's a sinner. He has not been forgiven. Man has transgressed God's law, and these transgressions must be borne away. That's what it means to be forgiven, just carried away, taken away. And that's what Jesus Christ does for you and I. That's what forgiveness is. It's to be carried out of our sight. It's to be lifted away. That's why we talk about the heavy burden that bears us down. And when you're forgiven, it feels like you can fly. Amen. It's like a load's been taken off your back. The man Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress, he carried that burden around. But when he got to that wicked gate and the cross of Calvary, that burden slid off his back. Amen? Have you experienced that? Have you ever felt the weight of your sin and your shame bearing down upon you and the guilt of the crimes that you've committed against man and against God, and you finally realize that there's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you called out to Him for forgiveness and He made you free? Forgiveness is a removal of sin and guilt and punishment. And God will forgive the sinner and remember his sins no more. Turn with me to Jeremiah 31, please. Keeping your place in Psalm 32. We'll look at a couple passages of Scripture really quick. Jeremiah 31. I remember when I was burdened down with that guilt and sin and shame. And when I called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me, when I got up off of my knees, I didn't get saved in a church or at a church altar. I drove 26 hours straight from Phoenix, Arizona, back to Chicago, Illinois. That's where I'm from. And I got to my mom's house, and I went down to my room, and I got down on my knees, and I gave my heart to the Lord there. I remember when I stood up, there was one of them full-length mirrors in front of me, and I looked at myself and I smiled. I didn't know exactly what has taken place in my life at that time. I wasn't aware of all the terminology of saved and repentance, but that's what just happened in my life. And I looked at that man, and I knew something was different. And I remember going upstairs and walking outside, and though it was cold and dreary in Chicagoland that September 24th, it was like the grass was a little greener and the sky was a little bluer, and I was happy about what I just did. And I was excited that I could now live for the Lord Jesus Christ, because I had no power before to say no to the things that I was doing. God changed me that day, amen. Do you remember that day when God changed you? Do you remember how you felt? Amen. And yet salvation is not all about feelings. It's about the facts found in the Word of God. But there are some feelings too. Amen. You feel great. Because you know that a man suffered, bled, and died in your place. And you're receiving the benefit of it. Jeremiah 31, please, in verse 34, the Bible says, Jeremiah 31, 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is an Old Testament passage, but it's a New Testament principle. It's a truth for you and I that when we are forgiven, He remembers our sin no more. God is not like man, amen. He doesn't weigh it over your head. He doesn't always remind you of what took place and what happened and what you did and how you should be so thankful because of what that He has forgiven you, though we are thankful. He doesn't bring it up. He doesn't remind us. It's gone, amen. Look at chapter 50, please. Excuse me, chapter 50 and verse 50. Oops, I made a mistake there, 50-50. It's not in my Bible. Is it in your Bible? 50-50, no, it only goes to 46. Let's move to Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. Sorry about that. I know it's in there, amen. It says something about forgiveness.
I've been there.
Psalm 103 and verse 12. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Amen. God has removed them out of sight, out of mind. Yes, we bring them up to ourselves at times, but God doesn't. Why? Because when Jesus Christ suffered for our sins, that's where our sin was. Upon God, the Bible says, God the Father hath laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. You see, God will forgive the sinner and remember his sins no more. He does this because Jesus Christ paid for our crimes when He died on Calvary. He bore our sins away. And if man is ever to find peace with God, it's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because His shed blood is what gives us this forgiveness. It's only found in His shed blood. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 1:7. Hebrews 9:22, but without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Means there's no forgiveness. Christ shed His blood for you and I that we could be forgiven, that God the Father would remove that from us. He placed it upon His Son, and He was punished in our place, and they're gone. They're no more. They're not remembered, amen. That's the blessedness of forgiveness. The blood of the new covenant, Jesus said, which is shed for the remission of sins. It's in His blood. Amen for that. Forgiveness is found in the shed blood of Christ. But before God can forgive our sin, it must be repented of. We must repent, the Bible says. We must turn, amen. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of action. It's not just a change of mind in what we believe about things, because when you repent, you turn from those things, amen. And if you have repented, you have turned from those sins that you committed. And you've turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here in Luke 24, please. Luke 24. Old Testament passage, but yet New Testament truths. Luke 24. Listen, man can find happiness. Man can have a blessedness. Man can find a release. Man can find rest. Knowing that his sins has been forgiven when he puts his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you still have that turmoil in your soul and that fight with God, it's time to surrender, amen. It's time to give up and give it to Him. I never understood that until I was saved, amen. Why was I always at unsettled and no peace in my heart? It's because I was not saved. I was not reconciled with God. I didn't enjoy the rest that He gives through repentance and faith.
Yes.
Luke 24 and verse 47. Verse 46, This is Jesus after he has risen. He's on the road to Emmaus with these two men, disciples. It says here in verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance and remission, amen. You cannot separate them. You must repent to be saved. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So, back in our text, we see, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. That means he went over the boundary, but you know what? God has forgiven that man. He has borne that sin far away. But what does it say next? Whose sin is covered. What does this mean here when we look at this? When we want some New Testament truth for this Old Testament passage, is man needs the righteousness of Christ to cover his sin and shame. Way back in the garden, Adam and Eve tried to cover their shame. The Bible says, and they were ashamed. They knew that they were naked, and they were ashamed. And what did they do? They sewed fig leaves to cover their shame. But that wasn't good enough. Because later on in that passage, I think somewhere around 22 or 23, the Bible says that God made them coats of skin and covered them. Well, to get a coat of skin, something has to die. Blood has to be shed. And God wanted blood to be shed, and God wanted their sin and shame covered, not by what they could do, but by what He did. And what a picture that is of the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered on our behalf, who shed His blood so that we could be covered, amen. That we could have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, man cannot stand in God's presence without a covering. We need a covering. We need righteousness. We need His goodness applied to our life. And He covers it completely, amen, so that it doesn't appear. Turn with me to Psalm 85. We need His robe of righteousness, not our own. Because the Bible says that our works, our righteousness, is like filthy rags. It's like filthy rags. I'm pretty sure most of us this morning, we tried to come in something that was clean to church. It's not a filthy garment that you're wearing this morning. In the mountain there where we were preaching in Ecuador, those people, they had nothing. I mean, if they washed their clothes, if ever, I don't know. But, I mean, they were filthy garments. And those kids that would come to the service, they would stink. They'd have lice in their hair. They'd be dirty from head to toe because they all work in they planted onions and worked in those fields there on the mountain. And their faces would be chapped purple and cracked with blood coming out sometimes because of the wind and the sun on the mountain. That equatorial sun is hot. But they'd come. Amen? And you came this morning, but you put on something clean. You didn't want to come in something filthy. And when we go and stand before God, man without the Lord Jesus Christ is standing in his own righteousness. He's standing, which is not righteous at all. He's standing in his iniquity. He's standing in his transgression and his sin. And it's filthy in God's eyes. It's not what he has provided, the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 85 and verse 2, the Bible says this, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. That means stop and just meditate on it for a minute. Just think about that. Thou hast covered all their sin. Amen. We need His robe of righteousness to cover our sin. Man's attempts to cover his sin is futile. It will never work. Our sin cannot be covered by our own works. We can't think if we just do enough good to outweigh our bad that God will let us into heaven. It doesn't work that way. There's no heavenly balance that weighs good and bad because in God's eyes, all is bad. Man does not need reformation. Man needs righteousness. Man can't stop and say, well, I'm going to start going to church and I'm going to start doing better and being gooder. Because it's not going to work. We don't need reformation. We need righteousness. Our sin is not covered by our works, but by Christ's righteousness. Turn to Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about what we can do, it's about what He has already done. And David in this psalm is just relishing in the fact, blessed, he says, is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Romans 4, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says this, even as David, hey, this is where we're at, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Our works will fail us. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And this is all by faith, amen, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ's righteousness, our sin is not covered. Without His forgiveness, and them being remembered no more, man is a mess. So, we've talked about transgression and it being forgiven. We've talked about sin and it being covered. But then he says in verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. What do we see next? When he's talking about imputeth not iniquity, what's perverted and distorted must not be reckoned or charged to the sinner. This is where justification comes in. Justification, if we break down that word, justified just as if I'd never sinned. That list of crimes that I have committed 10,000 times, 10,000 times that I've sinned against God is not being imputed to me. The judge can't say that these are the crimes against me, because if I am justified, they're not mine. I have a clean slate, amen. But where did all those crimes go? They went on Christ. They were imputed to Him and not me. You see, God just doesn't, I don't even know if I want to say it like this, wave a wand and say you're forgiven. No, in His law and in His righteousness and in His goodness, He just didn't overlook it. It had to be punished. It went on Christ, the Bible says. And when we talk about justification, we think about substitution. Because if they didn't go on Him, I mean, if they didn't go on me, they went on Him. He took our place. This is what justification is. This is where He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God, the Bible says. This is Isaiah 53 where it says, He bore our transgressions. He was wounded for us. It was all, there was a transaction being taken place. One for the other. I told those guys in the jail the other night when I was preaching to them, there was a man that was about my size, and I said, listen, I was trying to explain substitution. I said, give me your jumpsuit. I'm going to give you my clothes. And we're going to trade places. That's substitution. Trading places. And I'm going to go face the punishment for the crime that you committed, and you get to walk out of here free. Amen. And that's what took place on Calvary. Amen. In the great transaction of our salvation, is that Christ was punished in our place for our sins, And we were set free. Let's look at one more place here. 2 Corinthians under this passage. 2 Corinthians 5. Verses 19 through 21. The Bible explains to us exactly what was taking place here. Verse 19 in 2 Corinthians 5 says, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Amen? This is justification, just as if I'd never sinned. God did a wonderful transaction on our behalf. But have you received this? So David is talking here in Psalm 32 about how blessed it is to have your transgression forgiven, to have your sin covered, not have iniquity imputed unto you, to have no guile. This is all a New Testament truth here in an Old Testament passage. But we see here in verse 3 and 4 a little more about repentance. He said, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin." What is he trying to explain here? He's explaining conviction. When God starts labeling and putting His thumb on your sin and you start feeling bad about who you are and where you're at and what you've done, and you get that feeling in your heart, that guilt and that anguish, and your conscience begins to accuse you of things that you've done, and it's overwhelming you, and for everybody it's about the same. It's distress. And you have these inward motions of just, why am I feeling this way? It's conviction. It's the Spirit of God trying to get a hold of you. And the Bible says that this conviction turns into a godly sorrow. You begin to realize what you have done, and your conscience is awakening, and it's a good place to be if you're lost, because you can be saved. And godly sorrow works repentance. And the Bible says that it's a gift that God gives in Romans. Here's the nature of true conversion. Here's the state of mind under conviction. What a miserable state to find yourself when your conscience is awakened and you have this unconfessed sin and you realize the wrong that you've done and you know that a man has suffered in your place already for you and for your sins, and that you can be saved if you but just repent and believe the gospel. David said he kept silence. He wasn't going to confess, but you know what? Pretty soon that conviction takes over and that inward strength is gone, and you just confess to God what you have done, and you believe the gospel. God will bring things to remembrance, and God will keep it before your mind, and praise God that He does that, because now I can be saved. And he confessed. Verse 5, he said, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee." When you confess, it will bring peace. It will ease the conscience. There's no relief until you repent. Only acknowledge your iniquities this morning. That you've sinned against God. That you need to be saved. Some have not owned up to the idea, "Against thee only have I sinned and done this iniquity in thy sight." Yes, you've sinned against man, you've sinned against yourself, but ultimately, you've sinned against a thrice holy God that you will stand before and you will give an account. And if you have not had your sins forgiven, if you have not had that robe of righteousness given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ, you're condemned. Purposed confession brings prompt forgiveness. Amen. And this morning, you're only one prayer away from it. If you'd but just bow in your heart and confess your sins to God, you can be saved because Jesus Christ has already done everything necessary and He calls you to come to Him. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, the Bible says. With the heart, man believeth, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can be saved this morning. And all that guilt and shame and sin and iniquity and all the garbage in man's life can be removed. And you can be made a new creature in Christ. And God can give you new desires and a new hope and a new life in Christ. Would you this morning receive this wonderful gift that has been given? You can be justified by faith, believing the gospel, calling upon His name. You can be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, David here understood how blessed it was to be forgiven. And he was instructing others on what it was like. Do you remember when you were lost? Do you remember when you got saved? Are you sharing that with somebody else? One more verse, verse 10. We didn't read this one. It says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. David, one more time, is just saying, listen, it's blessed to be forgiven. It's blessed to have your sins forgiven. And if you just confess, you can be saved. And he goes on to say one more time, listen, sorrows are going to be to the wicked. The way of the transgressor is hard, and there's misery, and there's no peace, and there's no satisfaction in the life of one who lives without the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only now, but then, where the worm dieth not and the smoke of the torment rises up forever and ever in eternity separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, don't die in your sins today. Receive the gift that's been given for you. Amen. Believe the gospel call and be saved. Amen. Would you today? You can be blessed beyond all measure if you put your faith and trust in Him. He calls today. Yes. Would you respond? Amen. Let's stand. If we'd have the pianist come forward. Pastor, if you'd come forward. We'll have a time of invitation as we contemplate on what has been spoken from the Scriptures concerning the blessedness of forgiveness. Have you been forgiven? Can you bring me back to that time and place in your life where you believed the gospel? If not, may today be that day for you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for speaking to us. I pray that you've challenged us by the Scriptures, and that at this time, if there's any that would respond to you, that you would give them the grace they need. Father, that they would place their faith and trust in the calling upon thy name to receive forgiveness of sins. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.